W-8-F-U. Good morning. Yeah, I think so. Anywho, the grind, man. Live it. Yep, I woke up this morning going, wow, I just don't want to. But here we are, on the way in. Yep. You just gotta put Mondays out of your mind. So, anywho, did a little repeater work on Saturday. It was supposed to be a hour's worth of work. Ended up being from 9:06. So that was kind of goofy. Which one were you working on? The 147.2, the Mecca repeater, as it used to be called. I don't know if we still call it that. I think it's still called that. Anyhow, it's the ARPSC VHF machine in Mount Clemens. I was never told to call it otherwise. Was that one also a little ill? The repeater itself was fine, but we got a piece of hardware called a RTCM interface to it, configured, reinstalled, and it's now prepped and ready to go for satellite receivers in Richmond and Warren. So a big part of that knocked out. Oh, nice. So the footprint's going to get bigger. Yeah, it should be good for their operations. So we shall see. But, yeah, that's the goal, is to get that thing playing really well throughout the county. And then and it's also all-star now. So it's got an all-star number. You can all-star in.
K8RUH.
Sean, when I get home, I'll see what that how I can get into that repeater for my house. I feel like VHF would work better. I can open my phone and talk on it. Not VHF, but I'll try that out and see how VHF does for my house. Go ahead, Anthony.
I feel like I came in the middle of a conversation and there's some more activity that's going to be opening up, which just sounds awesome.
Morning, Anthony. I was just explaining to Dakota that we had a productive day on Saturday working on the 147.200 repeater. We got it, the controller. In essence, we got an external controller hooked up to it that's going to allow it to work in a voting system and get all-star activated on it. And it was quite a roller coaster We had three repeater breakdowns, all in the process of doing this. So it was supposed to be an hour project, and it ended up, the guys started on it, Tom, KJO, and Paul, DDK. They were just going to whip up a couple of cables and get some stuff interfaced, and it was going to be downhill and shady from there. And it, right from the cable, the programming cable, right out of the gate, it was just nothing but trouble. But we got it all done, and yesterday the thing was hooked up to the Central Michigan VHF repeaters, and it was connected up during the Michigan Hawkscom net at All-Star, and it's going to soon have receivers in Warren and Richmond. So that was what we were chatting about. Dakota?
Got to get ready for, what do they call that? The downturn. It's not a blackout, but when HF's no fun anymore.
Well, that's cool. It's always good to hear that more equipment coming online. And it'll be good, good to have some VHF since we're so heavy UHF in this area.
I think you're looking for the solar minimum. But, it used to be a time where healthy VHF machines dominated the landscape. And everybody ran around on 2 liter. UHF was just this, extra little thing. That, UHF was almost like ours. All-Star nose, you know. That was where we went for our more, private, kind of like more selective groups would go. Or they were supplemental to the VHF machine. Hazel Park's one of the last of the, groups that has it old school like they used to, where the VHF repeater is the mainstay. And then they have a UHF repeater, but it's like auxiliary or secondary, sort of, kind of. So that's the way it used to be, man. That was the norm.
Well, I remember when you explained it to me that the reason there's so much UHF is it's surplus equipment. It makes sense because you would think geographically VHF makes more sense down here.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense. Hey, anybody that's listening, there must be a gnarly accident on 94 westbound at like 10 mile. I haven't seen a single car on the expressway. They must have it closed somewhere. Cause I saw a bunch of cop cars lined up, but there's still no traffic behind it. Over to you, Sean.
84 ZYQ, there was an accident.
Morning, Joe. Morning, Joe. I need my morning, Joe. Anyhow, I'm on 59 heading east into the sun. It's quite a ways north in the, just noticing how far north it is now.
Hoo-hoo.
Summer is on the way. But we're sailing smoothly here on 59 this morning, Dakota.
I just got off of 53 on the 59, driving directly into the sun, and it appears there is no eastbound traffic, so I'm happy.
Yeah, a easy ride to work would be nice. I definitely have a case of the Mondays today, so as minimal traffic as possible. I do think I'm going to hit some coming up on 696, though, which will be a little frustrating, but it'll be fine.
Go ahead, Joe. You can go after Anthony there.
I don't want to interrupt your guys' queue, so going to work and all, you guys talk on a regular basis or so, but I just want to interject that I didn't catch the streets since I'm not driving them, but yeah, there is an accident, single car, I believe, accident that tied up the whole whole expressway there, wherever you were talking about, is why there's no traffic. So I'm not sure what the go route was. If I would have remembered it, I'd tell you. But I'll just sit out, monitor. You guys go ahead and enjoy your drive, and have a good day at work, and return trip home safely. KE4ZYQ.
All righty, Joe. I'll make sure I stay off of that stretch. Of course, I don't got any need to go that way. I'm thinking about going up to Richmond. Although I should go to the county building and do some work. You know, I don't know. We'll see. I've got stuff to do for Richmond. I've got stuff to do on the county building. I got to get the P-25 machine out of the county building off of the GMRF. So that means I got to find a substitute for the GMRF machine. Because I need that Quantar for the new P-25 machine. Oh, man. So many amateur radio things to do with so little time. Dakota?
Sean, I don't know where you're at, but you're getting pretty noisy. I don't know. I feel like Warren M. on climate should cover wherever you're at. Also, have you figured out what Romeo's problem was or is? I didn't pay any attention to it today. I didn't talk to you guys until I was south of 32, so I was flipping over to Richmond, but I'll pay attention on my way home, too. And Anthony, have you ordered a 2730B yet?
No, I have not. I'm not ready to pull the trigger. We'll see what happens. There's couple other things that are higher on my list of Anthony fund money funds going to, and that's probably I got a couple big ticket items that I'm gonna buy before that, unfortunately.
Well, let me know if I'm still noisy. I'm on 59, just coming up on the golden butthole here, so I really shouldn't be soybean into Warren. I'll have to check my car first, make sure it's not bad. Sure hope I don't got some repeater issues there. So how am I doing now, Dakota?
You're better, but you still got some pop going on. I'm on Warren, too, so I don't think it's the repeater. I was honestly going to ask you, like, is your antenna loose or did it fall off?
Yeah, Dakota, you're coming in good. I'm on Warren also, so nobody said anything to me, but Sean, you're definitely frying bacon.
All right, well, I just switched over to UFT, so is this any better?
Give me a longer one than that, but I heard some frying there as well. I'm now on UMP. I just pulled in my parking lot.
Okay, yeah, I'm on 59, where am I at Hayes, just going through the light at Hayes, and I switched over to the UMP.
Anthony, give him the assessment.
Yeah, you're still cooking bacon over there, still making some breakfast.
All right, I'll have to pull this thing in the garage, check things out, make sure everything's okay. It's weird, because you started out fine. Well, I was on Warren, and I was a lot closer to Warren, so I've moved, you know, north and away from it, so I have a problem in the car. It could be amplified when I got up to 59.
You weren't frying bacon there, but there's still some static in the background. Not as clean as you normally are.
What do you have your power set to?
I'm closing the distance between Mount Clemens and I, so it should get better as I proceed east here. And I'll look into it when I get to work. Thanks for letting me know, though, because they sound good coming in. Neither one sounds particularly, well, I guess there's a little popcorn. They're probably
probably shouldn't be on either one. I've had problems with the UAP and nobody else has reported it. So maybe I got something going on here. I'll have to check it out. Yeah, let me know what you find, because now I'm curious, because you're usually rock solid into both of these on our morning commute here. But I am at work, unfortunately. I'm glad I have a 30-minute drive to wake up, because when I got in the truck this morning, I could barely keep my eyes open, and now I think I'm ready to go after drinking a 16-ounce coffee. So I will catch you gentlemen later, maybe on my ride home. If not, I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Everyone have a good day. NADDF.
Have a good one, Dakota. K-E-8-R-U-H.
Yeppers, I'm driving right by you right now, so I'll wait. Have a good day. We'll catch you later.
Yeah, Sean, I waved because you went right by my neighborhood off of Hall Road, KE4ZYQ.
Where you at, Joe Hall, and what?
I'm south of Hall between Garfield and Hayes, so you had to go by the famous butthole.
Oh, yeah, right. I'm right in front of Dakota's place. He's at, that Romeo Point, what is that? I can't remember. Is that, was that a... Anyhow, I can't remember. I just saw it. Anywho, I'm just east of whatever that crossroad was right there. You see Rivergate? Yeah, I don't know what that one was in my rearview mirror.
John, your signal is deteriorating, actually. You're frying more bacon than you were before.
That is really weird. I'm going to have to get the watt meter on this thing as soon as I get in the shop.
That thing is, he's got a 5.9 or a 9 signal.
Well, of course, your signal strength is just what the repeater is doing to you, Joe. It has nothing to do with my signal. The only thing you can tell about me is the 5 part. If I'm less than 5, that's all you can really tell about me.
You know, your transition starts out okay, and then progressively gets worse.
About a 3.
Oh, man, is Starbucks closed? I'm going to be angry if they're closed.
I don't think Starbucks closes.
No, unless there's something going on, but I'm at the one here by the Home Depot on 59. And, oh, no, it doesn't look like they're closed. Sure, it looked like it was closed from the road. It's all dark, but... There's people there in the at the drive-thru, so I'm guessing they're open.
You gentlemen have a good day and safe travels home, and good work, whatever you're doing today. KE4ZYQ, going to be clear.
All righty, we'll catch you later. Anthony?
What's the coffee of choice today, Sean?
You know, I don't know. Part of me wants to get a cold brew or a regular coffee, and then as foo-foo as I get is cappuccino. And I get it dry, so basically it's just espresso with a little dollop of foam on it. So I'm not sure. It'll be a game day decision.
I do enjoy a cold brew. It's a little chilly for a cold brew for me right now. That'd be more like an afternoon drink, I think. But, yeah, a cold brew is always good.
I think I'm going to get my quad macchiato. So that's a cheap way to get 4 shots of espresso in my system.
nothing wrong with that. When we were on vacation a couple weeks ago, I was good for the midday espresso pick-me-up most days, and that was always enjoyable.
Okay, order in. I went with the quad espresso macchiato. Like you said, that's the cheapest and the easiest way to get bunches of caffeine.
And today is a day that you need bunches of caffeine.
I kind of consider it my little secret, you know, because if you get a cappuccino, and I like them dry, I don't really like milk in my cappuccinos. No, hold on, I gotta pay. Anyhow, that's a window. Am I still making it without static?
Yeah, definitely sounding better than you were.
That's so weird, because I'm like right up against the window here under their awning, and you would think this would suck, and the building's between me and the repeater. So you would think I'd stink now. Yet I'm better. I'm wondering if I have a swerve problem or something. But anyhow, yeah, cappuccino's what I get. Like if I go to a real espresso point place. And thank you. And okay, there we go. Got my drink. But I have to get those dry. And then you're paying for a cappuccino, but really all you're getting is espresso and a little dollop of foam. And they have a drink where they give you that. That's all it is. So they just take just a spoonful of foam and throw it on top of four shots of espresso. And it's cheaper. So what the hell, man? It's my little secret, that nobody knows about. For the longest time, they couldn't even find it on the register. It's like, where is that? They have to usually get somebody that's been there a while to come over and show them how to find it. Now I don't seem to have a problem with it, but as I guess my secret's getting out. But no $6 foo-foo drinks for me.
No, not at all. I don't know that I've ever spent $6 on these drinks. I think I would cancel my order if they told me it was $6.
It's actually pretty easy to get up to $6 at this joint if you're not careful. Most of their foo-foo drinks are almost there. You add a shot to it because I don't think they put enough caffeine in it or enough espresso. So you do that, and each one of those, it takes it up another dollar or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. But, it ain't hard to get up to $6 at Starbucks if you're not careful. But, $3-4 and, you're pretty much, you're in the running. Just about anywhere nowadays is well into the twos, right? I mean, what do they get for a large coffee at even McDonald's?
I don't know, but to your point, it's got to be at least $2. It's probably $2 and change.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, And so if it's like, let's say, I don't know for sure, but if it's $2.50, I'll pay the extra, the extra dollar to get Starbucks. But I like it, right? A lot of people don't like it, in which case, I understand. People say it tastes burnt, so I get that. So if it ain't your cup of tea, why would you pay a penny more, right?
Absolutely. Hey, I got to hop out of the car and pump some gas. I'll call back out as soon as I'm back in the car. KE8RUH.
Okay, but I'm about a mile from work, so if I'm not here, you'll know I've arrived. W8FU.
All right, I probably won't catch you again. It was good talking to you this morning. Maybe talk to you this afternoon or tomorrow morning. It was K8RUH. Talk to you soon, Sean.
Just pumping gas. I just finished pumping gas. How you doing? Who the heck is gas? Why is he getting so much action? I just paid after what I've been paying, and felt like he got some action, but that's when you want.
Sounds like you feel like you're the key in this transaction.
Yeah, that gas station, it's, sometimes it's, like, way cheaper than everyone else. Sometimes it's, they make up for it, you know?
Is that a gas station up there in Clio or wherever the hell it is you are?
Yeah, Mount Morris. The Beacon Bridge or whatever. Yeah, it's been like in the 280s. It's been 324.
I don't remember what it was last time I bought. I go to BJ's normally when I can. I get, you know, the discount for there, which is going to be right on par with Costco and Sam's Club. I just can't remember what it was. And I keep meaning to get their credit card. If you get their credit card, you take another 15 cents off a gallon. And so, you know, I'll get the card just for that, right? But I haven't done it because, you know, when you open up a new credit card, it knocks you for a point or two on your credit score because it lowers the age of your credit, which is kind of silly in my opinion. But, oh, well, it is what it is. You get it back pretty quickly, but I just don't want to do it.
Hey, Sean, I was just at the BJ's at 12 and John R., and it was 288, which is up 5 cents from last week.
288. So there you go, Lance. That's the best you can expect. And I have parked, so I'm going to get inside here. Anthony, enjoy your day. Lance, drive safe, and I'll have the radio on in a few. But sometimes when I walk in on a Monday morning, especially, it's a whirlwind. W8FU, Lance.
All right, so there you go.
Have a good one, K8RUH. Lance, have a good day. I'm about to pull into the office, so I'll catch up with you soon.
All right, I'm running behind today. Just get on the road. So,
AE4ZYQ, Costco gas at Marketplace off of Hall Road, 287. Still in there, Lance? KE4ZYQ.
I'm here.
And the one thing I like about Costco is not only the lower gas, they use BP gas, which isn't too bad, and just down the street at Hayes and All Road, the same tanker that fills up the BP station fills up Costco. But the money you gain at the end of the year that they give you back from buying things at the store, not only do you save in bulk, but I get back usually more than what my membership fee is for the year. So it's like having a free membership and the discounts.
Yeah, I'm up here, I live in Flushing, so they just opened the Costco in Grand Blanc, which is about a half hour away. But, I don't know, my experience with Costco is it's get the same stuff as Sam's Club, but more people and just more headache.
But they're better for everything.
One Costco or a Sam's Club?
I like Costco. I like their products better and their prepared foods and their business model. I like everything about Costco way better than Sam's Club. But I'm not a big fan of the Waltons.
Second that.
Yeah, this one I haven't been doing either. It's just me most of the time, so it's not really worth it to buy in bulk anymore.
Did you know, either you know, that Costco is one of the biggest sellers of wines and jewelry? They're known for their inexpensive or somewhat inexpensive jewelry, at least in most of the stores.
I agree, Lance. We can't really, it's just Andrea and I, and we can't really justify, you know, a lot of shopping at those kind of places. The BJ's membership cost me nothing. You know, it's like, I think they give me an offer of renew for 20 or 30 bucks. It's really cheap. And then you get it off on the very first shopping trip. And so it's in essence free. And if all I use it for is gas, I use it for gas and I use it for bottled water. Those are the two things I definitely use them for, because I can get the great big Nestle 40 packs for a pretty good price there. And then usually when I'm in there doing that, I'll find a couple other things. But like sometimes I'll find paper products, you know, there. But for the most part, I don't do a whole lot of shopping there because we just can't justify buying in bulk really anymore. But all right, I just got in, turned on the Cisco phone, and heard the comments there that I wanted to chime in on. But I am going to get to work now. W8FU, this time I think a little bit more permanently. Not sure, though.
Yeah, I've been without my membership for Sam's for over a year, and I'm just now running out of the paper towel and toilet paper. But yeah, we used to get like the big 10-pound sausage of meat, and we'd billy it out into 1 pound and freeze it. And that was a... do that and milk and whatever else we would grab. It's not worth it anymore.
Yeah, Lance, KE4ZYQ. I get batteries, I get laundry detergents, hand soaps, all sorts of stuff, frozen foods. Sometimes there's frozen foods. They have good bargains on certain foods and things. And, geez, I don't, like you said, the non-food items, and sometimes wine, beer, and sometimes they'll have things in there like a Gold Zero Yeti 1000 battery backup system. That was really marked down lower than even you could buy directly from the company. That sucker's still running to this day. That's a lithium ion, so knock on wood if it keeps running for quite a while.
I haven't found it worth it lately. Really. I don't know, that new Costco is probably going to be a zoo up here, because it's the only one around, so I don't know. But Costco's never really been my cup of tea. I've always preferred Sam's over Costco.
You know, what's interesting is sometimes the different stores are different from each other in the same company. You could go to one store like mine over here on Marketplace and have a real good operation, management, workers on the floor, stock, and you go to another one that's like they're not as good. So they're all managed independently, even though it's one chain.
Yeah, the one thing that they got going against them, too, is they don't have the, I like the Sam's with the scanning going. You just scan all your stuff and walk out the door. You don't have to wait in line or anything. It's made real convenient, but a lot of people don't like that because taking jobs away. I don't work here, but kind of worked for me. I just pull up the side, scan everything, and walk out the door.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, the one thing I did last year was they had an offer, $6 membership, trial membership for the year. Hey, couldn't pass that up, so I had Costco and Sam's Club. If I wanted something from one or the other, you know, if one didn't have something, the other one did. So that pay was not a bad year. Didn't have to pay a lot.
When I started mine, it was a thing through work. It was like $20 for the first year or something like that.
I know somebody that could use one of those places like Costco, and they said, I'm not paying for a membership. I'm thinking, well, at the end of every year I go and I get stuff, and I don't buy a lot of junk, and I don't buy overly amount of stuff just because it's there. But I buy what I need, non-food items that last a while, and make less trips, less gas trips, getting there back all for weekly use. And if you got certain things you use on a regular basis, stock up on it, don't buy it for a while. But at the end of the year, I usually get back exactly, well, not exactly, but actually more than what my membership costs, so it's like doing it for free.
Yeah, my understanding is they're selling everything at cost, and the way they're making their money is with the memberships. That's the only way they actually make their money.
I think they put a new BJ's up somewhere near me. I can't remember where, but it wasn't too far away. I can't remember. I just know I got a flyer in the mail saying, oh, BJ's in town.
Yeah, they were building it when I moved out. At Hall Road and 94, like right across from Selfridge.
Well, you know what I think's going to happen with society, retail, is we're all going to go to warehouse selling, like they used to have service merchandise, and either go and go to the place and they pull it from a stock for you and load your car, or delivery, or pickup. That's all that's going to happen. There won't be any more traditional grocery stores and things. Like things on the shelf, it'll all be warehoused. You order what you want, they pull it, put it down a conveyor belt, you pick it up, you go.
Yeah, I'm surprised they don't have more ghost grocery stores or something like that. You go to Walmart and everything now, and they got people shopping for the pickups. Surprised they don't. Or even when you do like Shipt or Instacart, you know, just a big warehouse with all your groceries, and they just show up at your door. There's no physical store, kind of like an Amazon.
KE4ZYQ, well, that's exactly what I'm saying they're going to go to eventually. And people won't be able to see, you know, just like we're shopping for radios now. There's not too many radio stores around for AM radio. Like Radio Shack and that, you can go to the store and see stuff and get what you need and shop just like a store, regular store. But eventually everything's going to be online or order by computer, and you either pick it up at a warehouse or it's delivered to your house. The old way of it. Well, look at all the malls they're closing because malls can't survive. Lakeside Mall is going to be something else with little shops. That's sad to see a big mall like that, especially holidays-wise, not be decorated or have people shopping around in the stores.
That's the funny thing is all these malls are closing and then they're tearing them down and building Amazon. They love doing these mixed developments where you get houses and or apartments and stores and offices, and it's like everything has to be a mixed development now. It can't just be a store.
Well, I'm glad I grew up when I did, because it was the old days where you could go to the mall with a bunch of people you know and eat at the food court and walk around shops and look at different things. And I remember when Lakeside Mall used to have a Grinnell's music store. That's going way back.
sometimes you forget about that those places are still around sometimes. It was years ago when I was married, we needed to get a new router for our house, and it'll be a couple of days when we order on Amazon, and the ex-wife's like, well, why don't you just go to Best Buy and buy it? I forgot I could just walk in the store and grab one.
KE4ZYQ. Well, I used to work out of high school. I used to work at a Kmart in Mount Clements, Cass and Grossbeck. I was a department manager. And one day I went to work at the front door, and they were unlocking it to let the employees in before it opened. And three of the assistant managers of the store called me to say, come on, follow us. And I said, what's going on? Is it a meeting? Nope, follow us. I went to the sports store, sporting department, grabbed some baseball gloves and a baseball or a softball. Said, we're going to play catch just to have a little fun. And we are all different aisles of the store, throwing a baseball or softball around each other. Hey, they were the assistant managers of the store. I'm just a department manager. I said, okay. So talk about having fun with your management. That was crazy.
Yeah, you don't see much of that now. I know when I was in college, I worked at for a company and for an internship, and at lunch we would we'd all play a video game together, have our own little LAN party at lunchtime. It was kind of neat, but most of that now is probably even blocked by the network. They won't even let you do it if you could do it. But a lot of times they won't let you install software. They had the disk you'd load it on your computer, and then somebody would start up a game, and everybody would join in.
I don't know how old you are, but young kids nowadays don't know what a wall-mounted landline phone is about. They probably don't even know what that is and don't have one in their homes. But the phone would ring with no answer machine. You didn't catch it. You didn't know who it was. You end up calling all your friends and anybody. Did you call me? Did you call me? Talk about ancient phone service, right?
Yeah, I remember those days. 90% of the time I was a telemarketer. You can always tell because they can never pronounce your name right.
KE4ZYQ. My dad, when we were young, living at home in our parents' house, all my siblings and I, my dad was a volunteer fireman for Mount Clements, and he had a bell in the kitchen on the wall that they wired, and it would get a signal of what firebox pole was pulled in the city of Mount Clements. And he had to figure out on a sheet of paper where the box was and how close to that box was the fire department going to respond to a house fire. He had to go down the streets to see where the house was on that particular street or so.
You got to try to find the smoke.
Yep, it was in the evening on a weekend. I was my dad's eyes. He'd be driving. He said, look down the street that way. I'll look this way. We'll see where the fire trucks are.
Fire department by me had a fun one last night. They had a fire at the landfill, so they were dumping water on it all for a few hours last night, and then woke up this morning and apparently it rekindled itself over the night. And it was burning again, so that's got to be one fire you don't want to have to put out.
Well, one of the worst fires that can be is at a dump where they got massive amounts of old tires, car tires, truck tires. They get caught on fire. They supply their own oxygen. So that's what I understand, what I've been told years ago. So they can burn and burn and burn. You just douse them with water. It doesn't help because they supply their own oxygen. and it's hard to put out a tire fire. You've seen those.
Yeah, I haven't heard rubber providing its own oxygen. I know metals well. Maybe the steel belting in there is what keeps providing the oxygen. But yeah, I remember a few years ago that the plastics plant by my work, they had a big fire, and I was watching the coverage of that. They were, you know, the news helicopters about whatever, and they just trying to douse water on it. I was like, I bet that water's not even getting to it. It's so hot, it's turned into steam before it even gets into there.
AE4 Zoo IQ. Well, how about that fire that happened a couple years ago? Off of Grossbeck, I think it was south of 15 Mile, that plant or something, that storage plant, had all those canisters in that exploded.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one. Yeah, that was what happens when you store oxidizers with accelerants. Not the brightest idea there.
And that poor kid, and I mean that sincerely, that was across the street a block or two away, he was at a car wash, do-it-yourself car wash, I believe, got hit with one of the canisters and got killed. Talk about being at the wrong place at the wrong time in a fraction of a second.
Well, if you have that much shrapnel going around, more people didn't get hit. He was there to look at the fire, so not surprising, I guess, but unfortunate.
Well, sir, you take care. Have a good day, good work day if you're working, and safe travels home. KE4ZYQ, going to sign and say 73.
morning.
KF8DRC from KF8DSF.
KF8DRC, go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Jack. How you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing fine. How about you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Got my pot of coffee down. Just listening to the radio here this morning and getting ready to eat some breakfast.
Oh, I just woke up about a half hour ago. I haven't had the one cup yet. I took a little sip and that was it. Roger.
Yep, roger that. Yeah, I was up early this morning, just monitoring here and playing around on the computer. That's about it. Gonna be a little bit chilly today, windy.
Yeah, about 10, 15 minutes ago it was sunshine. Now it's no more sunshine. I guess it's going to be cold from now on. Or maybe 3-4 days.
Yeah, it's, high 30s. It'll be 40 today, 37 tomorrow, and 43 on Wednesday. But it's down to cold at night. But, yeah, it's in that phase right now. We're just kind of waiting for that warm weather to break.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. I don't know when, but it will be probably another, couple of weeks or something like that. I usually, get warm out there after Mother's Day.
Yeah, being a boater, it's usually, depending on if you're trying to get out there and get the good spring fishing, but usually if I don't get my boat in by Memorial Day, that's usually the day I usually try and have it in by for sure.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, well, that's nice anyhow. By Memorial Day. Yeah, it should be warm enough by Mother's Day, really. At least I can go outside and garden a little bit, Some squash, yellow squash, cucumbers, peppers, and all that good stuff, and tomatoes.
Yeah, you normally don't plant any of that stuff until after Memorial Day, do you? Or? When do you normally plant that?
Mother's Day. When you say Mother's Day, that's it. Next day, I do everything. Plant, buy the plant in Mother's Day and everything. Then after that, you go plant them next day.
Yeah, roger that. Do you do seeds or... growing from a seed, or you get a little sprout and you buy or whatever?
Yeah, a little bit of sprout, and you grow them one by one. What I usually do, I buy, the cucumbers, sometimes they come two by six, six plants. So I separate them, so now I'm going to have a 12. 12 is enough. They'll give you enough cucumber for the whole summer.
Yeah, roger that. KF8DSF for ID. Do you do tomatoes too?
Yeah, when I go get the tomatoes, I want to make sure that there's some tomatoes. They come with two, and each place comes with two. That's the one you buy. and you separate them, you plant your tomatoes, and make sure that no stems in the bottom catching the ground, that way they grow higher.
Roger that. Do you got a garden, like a planter box, or you got a regular just garden? How do you do that, Jack? My backyard has got a big old pine tree in it, and I tried a garden years ago, and I found out later that the pine needles or what have you makes the dirt not ideal for growing vegetables.
You don't grow you take that pine tree out, then you start growing. And there's a few seeds. I have them here. I'll send them to you. When I put some of these seeds, you'll have plenty of cucumbers, tomatoes. It's just unbelievable, they'll be.
Yeah, roger that. I thought about doing like a raised box, you know, where you can put your own soil in there and go that route, but never tried it. But the missus here is yelling out she wants to try it.
Well, I do have a box. I put my cucumbers because then I have to fence it because the rabbit comes and eat that. So I just fence it, and really, I'll send you some pictures. I think I have pictures how high those cucumbers they go on.
Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, send them. Jen's here in the background listening, and she wants to see them, Jack.
Yeah, no problem. Here's the way I do it. You know, when the season is over, okay, I cover the ground. Wood, a blue tar, whatever it is, cover the ground. Then when Mother's Day comes in, open those, take the wood out, take everything out. And I had a drill with a round thing. I'll send it to you too anyhow, that way you'll know where you get it from and all that. And I just go one thing, one at a time, I flip the whole thing over. The whole ground will be soft. And that's when I plant.
Yeah, very good. Sounds like you know what you're doing for sure. Yeah, we just, in years past, just went to the farmer's market every Saturday. We'd go and as stuff would come in, we'd try and time it to get various vegetables, but the farmer's market is not very far. And we used to enjoy getting up early and putting a ball hat on and a cup of coffee and running up to the farmer's market and getting all the fresh stuff out there. It'd be nice to get it every day out of the garden, though.
KFA, PRC. Yeah, Greg, you'd be surprised. I give cucumbers to two daughters, my son, and the neighbors, all that. I have too many. I can't eat them all in one day. I end up giving them away.
Yeah, that's usually the case, especially with tomatoes. You know, if you put in too many tomato plants, when they all come in, it's like, what are you going to do with them? Either can them or give them away for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I give some to the neighbors, and I give a lot to my daughters, both of them. Oh, Dad, don't bring no more, please. We have enough. They give them somewhere else. I ain't got nobody to give them to. Anyhow, so they have a good time. All the summer, they'll eat out of that. All the way through the end of November.
Yeah, roger that. Well, I don't know. It depends on how much boating we do, but usually when we're boating, kind of takes a lot of your time away from tending to the garden and that, you know. I guess it's all about priorities, but yeah, a small enough garden, I guess you can maintain it. I just, like I said, I tried it years ago, and that pine tree, I figured out I had it all tilled up and all that, and then I found out, why is stuff not growing here, and found out the soil wasn't right, and this and that, so maybe we'll give it another try, get rid of that pine tree, huh? But the only thing is, Jack, that pine tree is about 75 foot tall. That's huge.
Well, the only thing, maybe you get rid of that tree and you'll be okay. You know, you got to find the spot where sunshine in the morning, that is the best thing to do.
Yeah, roger that. All right, Jack. Well, hey, I'm going to back out of here, and it was good talking with you this morning. We'll chat again. I'll be monitoring today, so we'll chat at you later. KF8DRC, KF8DSF, we'll be clear on your final.
All right, Greg. Good talking to you. Take care. We'll talk again. The radio's all gone right now, so they're getting programmed, so we'll see. You take care. Talk to you a little bit later. KF8DRC, clear.
KEANOR. This is KAUZQ Mobile Monitor. At 8 seconds. W8 EAP.
What's up, Eric? KF8S. I guess Eric's lurking again.
NHRAN.
W8FU.
Everyone's taking a nap with the snow, I guess.
Yeah, I slipped out a couple of minutes early to snow flurries. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's all because the jet stream is right in Michigan. So it's all blending together.
Got one of those where it dips way down. It's supposed to be up in the Arctic, and it kind of dips down and tickles our fancy.
Yeah, it's dipping. It's hard to explain it. It kind of goes to the west of Texas and is like looping back up, but it's like going right. If you drew a line between Texas and where Michigan is, it's just like it's constant. So like, yeah, there's the cold area is creeping in, and I don't know, it's not windy though. I guess the jet stream is higher up in the atmosphere.
Well, about that, it's pretty windy. I mean, it's not gale force or nothing, but the flags are really, you know, really shot out to the east, and even the traffic lights are kind of like bending to the wind.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long this is going to last either. I mean, I'm looking at the animation, and it's kind of like, yeah, it's in a weird pattern. It's like going all the way down and then back up. So yeah, we got this big high pressure in between us.
Roger. Anywho, heading home. The roads aren't bad. They don't seem slippery or too bad. So just putzing along. I was going to cut out at 3 because I got busy, and all of a sudden I looked up and it's like 2:30, and I'm like, well, good grief. I blooped right through lunch. Not that I really had anything pressing going on. I was just one thing after another, and then the next thing you know, I look up, it's, you know, 2:30. Well, I can't take lunch now. I get off at 3:30, right? So I was going to get off at 3. Even couldn't do that. Best I could muster is about 20 after or so, whatever the hell it was. But looking at this weather, didn't miss much.
It sounds like you have Doctor Who running in the background.
Well, it is 101.9 Detroit Public Radio. Almost always where my dial is. It's either there or 91.7 UOM NPR out of east, out of Ann Arbor. So, let's see. It looks like they're playing the music for Fresh Air, so I missed the topic of Fresh Air.
Yeah, that was a Doctor Who theme playing in the background. That's funny. Yeah, it looks like it's going to get... Well, we'll be back to being warm next Monday. You just got to wait a week.
That's good. We got to be nearing the last hurrah. So this has got to be pretty close to the end of it. Not seeing any buds or anything or leaves on the most of the trees. Well, a couple of the trees. That tree right there is getting green. But it's got to be real. That willow right there has got a bunch of green on it. So, there's a little green starting to poke.
Yeah, the trees were, there were some blossoms on the trees, and they were like these pink. They weren't, I know they're not cherry trees, but they're pink blooms on the trees in London. And it's interesting, they're farther north than we are, right? But they get more daylight than we do.
Oh,
So they're interviewing somebody named David, I didn't catch the last name, who apparently has played Doctor Who, so that explains it.
Oh, David Tennant, maybe? I think Cujo's in there. Go ahead.
What's going on there? I heard the All-Star note is up now, Sean.
I take it you mean for the 7.2?
Yeah, for testing and all that. I mean, that's what I saw on Discord.
I have not been on Discord, so I don't know. I don't know. I don't know who's spreading lies and rumors. But no, that's true. I'll have to check it out.
Maybe I just misinterpreted it.
You'll have to send me a link to the Discord at some point.
Yeah. Is there a place for it? I'm trying to think if there's a place you can go to and find it. I don't know. Do a search for Macomb ARPSC. See if they maybe have a presence that has it listed. Otherwise, yeah, I'll get it to you.
AFADS. All right. Yeah, I'm not in front. I'm not on the computer with Discord anyways. I've got a different account for work. But I try to just leave it for work stuff. And then my phone's got it, but it's a little wonky to get to do it on the phone. So fun. That's cool. Also, I wonder, do you know what call sign it's under?
Any of that, Dave. I could not, but I'm in the car, so I just heard a high-pitched buzz and some audio in the background that I really couldn't make out what Tom was saying. Anyhow, WA8MAC.
This better, I'm on Bloomfield, but I'm actually downtown Detroit.
Yeah, I found it, by the way. 28277.
That is correct. I knew I'd know it when I heard it. But, yeah, it's working quite well. Although, yesterday they had the Michigan AuxcomNet rebroadcast over there, and it got really garbled, tough to understand, about halfway through. So I don't know what was going on with that, but it was unusable. And I didn't notice it because I was on a node. I wasn't on the actual repeater.
Yeah, I see I see your note on it. I see NAKPP, and I see that it's linked to the VHF system, MI2.
Roger, yeah, that's why I cracked out that other note yesterday that's given us trouble. And I've heard of it a lot. You don't use a clear note that connects up to... Oops, and I hooked up real quick with that for whatever, and that's why I started with the other one. Can't remember using it. That may very well be it. I did contact them about a business account. It's a or if you got a business account, and they say you can get that for the same price as commercial. Residential.
Yeah, I see it's even hooked up to Lapeer, 146620. So, wow, like, yeah, Dakota could be on the repeater up there, and we'd be able to reach him. I mean, he's got a good setup now, so he can reach down here, but if he wanted to do pure RF or whatever, he could go into the LAP and get down here.
Yes, he could. Go ahead, Tom.
So was I going crazy, or did I see correctly?
Still kidding, but you're reasonable now. The buzz is gone.
Well, I'm making you have confidence that more in your tank here at 94 and 96 is the front end of the switch here.
Which repeater are you on?
600.
All right, I switched over to the 600 as well, and I don't think you sound as bright as you did on the UMP. The UMP is all new too. It's got a new computer. They got rid of the Pi and put a Weiss box up there running ASL3, so that got swapped out as well. And currently the 7.2 is running on that same Weiss box. I've got an incoming SSD. I'm going to get a Weiss box done up for the standalone for the Mecca. There you go. Yeah, so Dave, I dread the thought of having to go through and set up the machine with a new ASL3 because I've probably gotten rusty and forgot a few of the things that I was blowing through, and this was all real topical.
Yeah, I think ASL3 though. I mean, because you were playing with it with ASL2, remember? ASL3 is a lot more, a lot easier to put together. You know, you use Debian Bookworm and all that stuff. And I think the hardest part you'll have is if you're using the smaller guy, you'll have that weird bootstrap thing. But if you're using the bigger one with the SSD, I think you'll probably have a better time with it.
Oh, no. I'm buying new. Fred has been having some trouble. You know, he bought a ton of those 5070s. And he's been having kind of a little higher than expected failure rate on the SSDs that were included. He had like a 32 gig SSD or something. And he's been having a little bit of a higher than normal failure rate. So I just ordered up a couple of 128s that he's been putting in them, and they're like $12. So I'm going to got a couple of those incoming. So as soon as those come in, I'll swap one of those into one of the 5070s, and I'll do it up on there. Getting it all up and running, you're right. Put Debian on it, you know, and go through the motions, and bingo, bango, you're up and running in no time. Now, it's the little things like, you know, I gotta set up the IAX string for HOIP, you know, to give it a HOIP extension, and you know, I just forget the details, so I'm going to have to go back, and, you know, and I don't keep notes. I just, once I figure it out, I keep some notes, but, I'm just dreading having to go through and get all that crap running again.
Yeah, I keep on recycling mine. I've got, like, two or three different all-star nodes where I just, like, you know, they don't ever get reloaded. I just basically go in there and I modify the configs to their purposes, so and that seems to work for me. I still have some Raspberry Pi based nodes, so I just recycle those. I mean, what else am I going to do with those Raspberry Pis? So it works for me, but otherwise I would be doing the Wise boxes.
You know, if they weren't repeaters, I would probably just leave them on Pis as well. But because they're repeaters and you got to walk away and forget them, I like the Weiss boxes a lot better in that app.
Yeah, and I wouldn't use those, I don't even know what you call those, EMC drives or something like that. I wouldn't use those either. I bet you when they were in regular use, they were probably hammered, you know, like they had like the little Windows operating system on it for the SIM client or whatever, and it probably just got, you know, those sectors only have a finite number of writes, so... Yeah, going with an external or a separate SSD is probably the best.
Well, they all have one in it. It's a 32 gig, I think, SSD. In addition to that eMMD, you know, stuff you're talking about, that flash memory, they've got a 32 gig. But like you're saying, they're probably even so abused, so many hard boots and all that, they're probably half trashed. Which explains why Fred's having a high failure rate on them. So we just order up the brand new 128s. They're $12. Pop them in, and then you know you'd be good for the long term probably. But anywho, yeah, I'm gonna switch to those probably for all mine. I got a lot I gotta do. I gotta get the Quantar out of Mount Clemens. Get that ready for P25, and then get something in its place for. GMRS, I mean, I don't really care too much about that anymore, but I'll keep it on the air, right? And I'm actually looking forward to the day the network's done, you know, and then these will just be standalone. I have a standalone in Troy, standalone in Mount Clemens, standalone in Detroit. I think it would serve the purpose of the service better. And then I can ignore it for the most part, unless I got to just manage it for some reason.
Yeah, I think you're right. Having them separate would probably be better. Keeps the, it keeps people from thinking that this is like a long distance solution.
It's not. It's not supposed to be. The company has made it quite clear. That is not what they want. Unfortunately, they have modified the rules to reflect that, but that's a whole different kettle of fish. They made it quite clear that's the intention, so it's just a matter of time, right? Anyhow, having said that, I agree with their summary of why it's not the intention. I agree completely that the intended use, it's a service. It's not a hobby. I cringe when I hear hobby. Among other things, I cringe when I hear. But it's a service, and... You know, I'd like to be able to get my kids a couple of radio and put them on I'd like to get a community tone panel, you know, and then, you know, I'd have my own PL or DPL or something like that for my family, and the kids could actually have a couple of radios sitting in chargers on. They wouldn't have to listen to any of the tomfoolery. The only time the radios would ever go off is if one of us was trying to get a hold of each other. I mean, I don't know how much we need that or how useful it is. We've got phones, for God's sakes, but neat concept.
I just ordered my wife one of them little things just so she could be on the GMRS.
It's kind of the intent. You know, your wife having a radio and you and her talking on that is exactly what it's for. That's what it's for. It's not for, you know, licensee A to reach out and try to talk to other licensees. You know, that's really not the intent. And, you know, that's what ham radio is for. It's for individuals, licensed individuals to reach out to contact other licensed individuals. So, yeah, I don't disagree with that premise at all. So, yeah, you and your wife having them and other extended family, perfectly in keeping with the intent. So, we created a monster, though. So, wasn't built in a day, and we won't tear it down in a day. But having enough, you know, what's to give is always an issue. Anywho, enough on all that. I got to figure out, where can I get some MSG? I'm going to have to go to the party store or the grocery store for that, aren't I?
Where are you at?
Oh, I'm at Van Dyke and Old 13. So I could go to Myers at 12 and Mound. I could go to Myers at 12 and Quinter. I'm trying to think of this somewhere. Maybe the Kroger. I wonder if the Kroger at 12 and Quinter would have it. That's easier in and out.
Right there at Whitcomb and John R. is a Chinese grocery store, and they got everything, and I'm sure you can get a thing of MSG there. KKKK.
Oh, yeah, I know where all the Asian markets are around here, and I never even thought of that. It didn't even occur to me, but that's a good idea.
Your turn, Dave. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm trying to figure out if I've got local interference or if the UMP's got this, like, it's hard to, it's like a metronome-like sound, like when, and I don't know if it's local interference or if the repeater's doing it.
Well, I can switch to it, but I won't be able to make it from where I'm at, so I'll have to check it out a little later.
Yeah, no big deal. I'm thinking maybe next time you're, working, like tomorrow or something, take a listen to it.
What frequency is that, Dave? I don't have it on my radio.
Four, four, three, six, two, five. And now I'm not hearing. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's coming from my local All-Star. And I was like, I wasn't hearing it now, but yeah, I'm hearing my local All-Star note. I wonder if that's what it is. I bet you it's my my local All-Star note is giving me Intermod.
The PL-123 is at 100.
I believe it's 151 whatever, 151.3, I think.
Yeah, 151.4.
No, it's quiet.
Well, you're only hearing
okay.
It while you're receiving it, right? Right, Dave? Or were you hearing it while you're just sitting there?
Yeah, I'm hearing it while I'm receiving it. And I just shut off my All-Star node. That's not it. It could be this cheap Chinese radio, too. I'm going to try a different radio. Yeah, it was the radio I was using. So now I know the answer.
Well, there you go. This is WUAFU.
KF8S.
By the way, did you and Phil get things worked out?
Yeah. I was just, whenever you hear me or see me or hear me react that way, it's probably because I just got up or something, and it's like, what's going on?
Yeah, when I saw it, I texted him. He goes, we figured that out, earlier or something like that. I forget what he said. I said, okay, I just saw it. I didn't know.
Yeah, I think what happened, he was probably listening to that other network last night, and he left it on, and his cron job, the automatic job or whatever, at 9 a.m. started it up and connected to Who Cares. So that it left that other one connected and then connected it. So he just needs to put, like, a a disconnect Mac thing in front of his macro, you know, like if it, for example, if it's like star, what is it? I forgot what the one is for disconnect all star 77 or something, you know, I'm making this up. He needs to just put like a star 77 and then like star 3, blah, blah, blah.
Right, star 76. Although, isn't it different on ASL3? I thought that was ham voice. I thought it was a little different. I can't remember. They do things a little differently with the top coach.
Yeah, they're like star 806. Star 806 is disconnect all. Star 816 is reconnect all. So they kind of paired them up. Like star 811 is disconnect and, or yeah, star 801 is disconnect and then star 81. Yeah, it's something like that. But yeah, you have to go in and you gotta go into your config and uncomment the things you want. It's not there by default.
Yep, and those are all the little things I'm not looking forward to, setting up a new one. I should get a master and just do like you do, lay in your configs. But, hey, whatever. All right, there is a Chinese market right here near my house. I don't have to go over to the other one, which that one's only a mile and a half away, so no big deal. But there's one right here, half mile from my house. I'm going to go there and get my shaker of MSG, because I haven't had liquid poop in a while.
Get that combo on number 5.
Are you actually getting MSG, or are you just saying that because you're getting the food?
No, I'm literally getting a shaker of MSG. I usually keep one around the house, and if I get some Chinese that's a little bland, that's the perfect salt substitute for Chinese.
It's like the Splenda for salt.
Yeah, I just don't know if it's any better for you. MSG's got its own detractors. You ever see those signs when you're walking into, like, certain Asian restaurants? It'll say, big nose, a big flash, you know, MSG, no MSG. And I've never had a problem with it, and I find it makes the food tasty.
I vaguely remember in my childhood that there was a big campaign against MSG, but I forgot what it was all about. And I know it was, like, famous with Chinese food.
Yep. I usually have a container of it at the house, and I don't use it a lot. Just every now and again, if something's a little bland, particularly if it's like Chinese, I'll sprinkle a little on it, and it really wakes it up. It really brings out the flavor. So I figure as infrequently as I use it, I don't figure it can hurt me. The only thing I've heard is people get the you-know-whats from it, but that never affected me. All right, I'm pulling in the parking lot here. I'm going to run inside. W8FU.
All right, enjoy. K-F-8S. KF8S. You enjoying the snow? Well, there's no snow anymore. Sun's out.
Okay. Mission accomplished. You know, I unfortunately don't have windows in my office, so when I walked to go to the bathroom, I looked outside and I went, what the hell? Was that Sean? Sean is in? I don't know. Go ahead. Yeah, I just ducked out to go into the Asian market and get some MSG. Mission accomplished. Now I'm on my way home. And actually, turning onto my street, so I don't even know why I bothered. Except for to say hello and make this my final and catch you from inside in a few. Well, hello. Hopefully I talk to you soon. I got a question. I need a blessing. Go ahead, Dave.
Paul, hang.
All right. Sean the priest, go ahead.
For giggles, I wanted to test out cross-band repeat on my 2730, and being that they're your repeaters, I just wanted to ask if you were okay with that. If it's thrashing them, I'm going to obviously turn it off.
No, it's fairly common. You know, the problem with cross-band repeat is the carrier, the PL has to drop with the carrier. And I think the Quantars do that. So you'll be able to transition, if you use PL, CTCSS, you should be able to transition fast. The problem is, if not, you got to stay for the duration of the hang time, and it's almost impossible to use. But try that out. I'm pretty sure my Quantars drop PL. Because, yeah, you never hear the IDing unless you have PL off. So, yeah, you should be good.
All right, I appreciate it. Like I said, I just want to try it for giggles to see if I can walk around with my Kenwood and then go through the ICOM into actual RF. So I will test that this evening. Appreciate it, sir.
Yeah, I can't speak for Romeo because Romeo's an XPR, but I think the Richmond should work pretty well for you. All right, I'm in the driveway. I'm going to get inside and try to hide my MSG from my wife so she doesn't throw it away. Anyhow,
WAFU. I think we can find something to hold the repeater open, see if we can burn his radio up on that crossband repeat. I know, that wouldn't be very nice, but it's happened before.
Yeah, when I was reading through it, I don't know, the radio looks like it came out in like 2017. I guess one guy did blow it up, but it was on an extremely heavy traffic repeater, so it's not like I'm going to leave it on all the time, just, you know, messing around with if I'm not at my desk. So mainly just want to try it to say I did it. I think I've done it once before with an FPM 300, but whatever. Just trying things out, but yeah, I know that's a concern. If that repeater's going, the radio's going.
Yeah, make sure you set your range to the lowest power. Can you hear it? You're on your handheld? You just can't get in or what?
Well, fortunately, 5 watts does the trick for Romeo and Richmond where I'm at from that radio. So I can pick it up okay. It's super snowy when I'm walking around the house. I can get in okay if I'm standing by a specific window. I've got All-Star, so if I absolutely want to get in, it's not a big deal. I just, you know, I like RF, and I just wanted to try this out.
You set it up for a one-way transmission. That's why I wondered if you could hear the repeater on your handheld. You could just use it as, like, a remote receiver to get in the repeater. You don't have to have the radio transmit the repeater back to you if you can hear it on your handheld.
Yep, I was going to try it both ways. I don't think my receive's very good. So this whole can of worms started when I couldn't receive the weather broadcast on my HT in my bedroom, unless I held it way above my head. So then I ended up getting a mobile and a GP3 that I stuffed in the attic. So I don't think I'd be able to hear too well.
Gotcha, because that's more common than doing the full crossband repeat. Allows you to use your mobile to get in, but it doesn't. You don't have to use your mobile to hear the repeater. It's a little easier on the mobile. Just an idea. Give it up there.
Yeah, that's my concern, is if I'm on that thing for a period of time or the repeater's busy for a period of time and it's just constantly open and transmitting, the fan, I actually have a new fan for that specific mobile at my house waiting to get installed. Because the one that's on it is so damn loud, so I can only imagine what it would be like if it was constantly open.
bed, she'd get pretty annoying.
Yep, so a $15 fan upgrade should do the trick. So we'll see how that goes when I get home.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Keep it up there.
Yep, I appreciate it. I'll give it a go, and maybe you'll hear me out here later. Dave, I didn't mean to completely derail the conversation. Go ahead.
Nope, all good. And he said he said exactly what I was going to tell you, so I just didn't have to say it. But, yeah, the one way, you can do it one way if you can hear the repeater good. I think that would save your radio the best, because then it only is going to be used when you need to talk into the repeater. The only problem with that is you better hope there's nobody near you that's on the same frequency, otherwise they're going to crossband back to you. I've had that. I've tried it before. It doesn't work if you're like closer to the repeater and you have a lot of people around you that you might be able to hear. But if you're where you're at, I don't think you'll have a problem.
An oddball frequency for your link frequency back to the radio, and then, you know, hopefully that radio can send different PLs to different spots. And that's some tricks, you know, do a weird offset on the repeater so it doesn't transmit back, because some of them you can't one way, it transmits both ways. So you got to set the offset up on the mobile so when you see the handheld up, it goes to the right input frequency, but when it goes back to receive it, you know, it's way off in la-la land, so it doesn't key up and transmit back to the handheld.
Yeah, this, from what I've seen, looks pretty straightforward. It's pretty much the A and B VFO, and just set them to uplink and downlink. And then I was going to, so the plus side is I'll be uplink VHF, and then the crossband will be UHF to the repeater. So not a whole lot of VHF activity, plus where I'm located, and I'm going to probably just slap a PL on it, and I think that should rule out anyone else getting in there and messing it up.
You definitely want to set a PL on handheld and on the mobile on that link. If not, you're going to ask for trouble, and it'll find you, PL or DPL. I don't know, on the UHF side, if you can set different transmit PL and different receive PL on UHF, that'd be a way to keep it from, if it does want to go both ways, you know, that'd keep it from going back to the handheld.
From what I've seen, the 2730 treats the crossband AB VFO is completely separate, so I can set one and it does one thing, and I can set the other and it does the other. It's actually a functionality of the radio, so I should be able to space everything out enough and differentiate it enough that I don't have any issues.
Go ahead and carry on, Dave. I'm about here where I got to go. Came in us the very.
Yeah, I think I need to draw you a picture, one of my famous pictures, but I think you might be missing something here. If it acts like the Yaesu radios would only let you put one PL on the – you'd have to have the same PL for receive and transmit. So basically, because you're going to need that transmit PL to get into the repeater, but what you want is you want the receive – PL on that side to be different so that it doesn't crossband back over to your HT. You want to have it blocked. So like if somebody was actually using the repeater in a normal capacity and they happen to be near your house or whatever, they're going to get into your thing and then it's going to crossband over to the 2 meter side. So what you want to do is try to be able to block that as much as possible. And the only way you can do that is if the radio supports split PL tones.
I get what you're saying. I'm going to have to mess with it because I'm not totally sure, but the video I saw, he had VHF on VFO-A, and he had his 440 whatever PL on uplink on VFO-B, and that's how he was set up. Now, I'll be the flip-flop of that, but I think, I'm trying to think how he did that. Yeah, because I'm going to have to put in, correct, yeah, so okay, so then the repeater uplink will be, from my mobile radio to the repeater, will be a regular old station. I get what you're saying, okay. Yeah, I'm going to have to mess with it, but that's the fun of ham radio, right? You got to try things.
Yeah, you got to just think of Eric driving by your house and saying, haha, I'm going to mess with Dakota. I'm going to get into his other side of his crossband, and I'm gonna come out his radio. I'm going to say, who cares?
But he would have to know my PL and the frequency I'm using to get for my uplink, right?
No, all he has to know is that you are repeating over to 2600, and he just goes, oh, I'm just going to put 448-600 in my radio on 123PL, and then your radio will receive it and then send it over to the VHF side.
I get what you're saying. I don't know how, yeah. Now I got to test this.
Granted, this is, like, very rare, because, like I said, you are out in the middle of nowhere, right? If you were down here, so back when Professor Don was around, he would always transmit at the highest power for whatever reason. So I did that one day, and I was doing exactly what you're trying to do, and all of a sudden he was coming in over on the other side because his signal is strong enough for my roof antenna to pick up.
So if someone could take the input frequency anywhere near me, if they know what repeater I'm going into, and then pretty much do whatever they want with the crossbander.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you know, most people aren't going to be doing it intentionally. They're not trying to interfere with me intentionally. They're just trying to talk on the repeater, and the repeater has that same, you know, frequency, the input. So it's just going to come back over on the other side. So, yeah, that's the thing. So it's not a big deal, though. I mean, you can figure out a way to get around it. A lot of the Chinese radios do let you have a different PL on the other frequency. I don't know what my daughter is doing, making weird noises, but, yeah, so there you go. Now you understand.
Yep, I'm following. So, trying to think, I mean, I read a couple use cases for these crossbanders, and people are like, well, there's a big hill, and if I park on top of it, I can cover both sides, yada, yada, yada. Or, like, my use case, I read a guy was like, I can't hit the local repeaters with my HT, so then I just crossband the radio that's in the truck in the driveway, and I'm able to get in. So, again, there's really no point to me doing this because I have nodes, but just figured it, give it a whirl.
Yeah, some radios allow for a one-way crossband, and some radios only let you do it both ways. So if it only lets you do it both ways, you can't set a different receive PL. You just set the UHF side of your mobile up on, you know, use an offset, use a weird offset. So when it keys up from your handheld to your mobile, your mobile keys up, it goes in on the input of the repeater, but when it on keys, your mobile is going to be on a different frequency, you know, just some weird goofball split, so it doesn't end up keying back up on VHF and your handheld. There's a good follow me. I'm sure you do, Dave. Sounds like you've done it before.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, put it on. Oh, yeah. You kind of like a repeater almost. Yeah, you just put it on a goofball frequency. I get what you're saying. I don't think I've actually tried that before. I've only had it like on a simplex frequency and no offset, but I think yeah, that would definitely work.
The bummer is we don't have a programming cable, and I don't know how difficult this is going to be from the front panel.
K8RUH.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Just turn the radio on. Wanted to say hello. Pick it up the next round.
M0RLK, this is Mike Zero, Romeo Lima Kilo. Over.
Go ahead, Mike Zero Station.
Yeah, Roger, this is Mike Zero, Romeo Lima Kilo, Mexico Zero, Radio Liverpool Kilowatt. Out in the UK, the biggest, nearest town from me would probably be Bath. It's the city of Bath, which is about 17 miles away. And this is the first time I've been using Echolink on the computer. So please bear with me if I make a few mistakes. From M0RLK, I don't know who's taking it next, but I'll put it back to whoever is next in line.
M0RLK, you've got NHDDF here. My name is Dakota. I'm in the southeastern part of Michigan, along with these other gentlemen and this repeater system. It's what, 10:30 across the pond? It's a little late, isn't it?
M0RLK returning. According to my clock here, it is 21:31, so that's 9:30. I've had a beautiful day here. I'm just about to go to bed, and I thought I'd give this Echolink a try. The temperature has been quite warm here. I'm looking for a beautiful day tomorrow from M0RLK.
All right, well, it's working good. You sound good. You're coming in loud and clear. I've flipped through three different repeaters now, and you sound fine. So whatever you've got going over there, it's doing well.
Roger, Roger. Thank you very much. I will leave you gentlemen to it. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to cough down in your ears. I will leave you to it. I wish you a best 7-3. I've had a busy day, so I'm going to get to bed and look forward to working you further down the log. From M0RLK, 7-3s. Bye-bye.
All right, 7-3, good talk to you. I'm sure I'll catch you on another day here. Anthony, I think, was next. Go ahead.
I don't even know what you guys were talking about. So, hope everybody had a good day. I am just fighting traffic on the way home. I don't know how your ride home is, Dakota. I think over to Dave, I think?
Yep, and M0RLK is good hearing from you. I was over in London like a week and a half ago, so yeah, it's nice and warm over there compared to here. But yeah, thanks Dakota for taking that. We're having some issues with my kids here, so I'm going to bow out, and I will talk to you all later. KF8S.
All right, Dave, I'll catch you later. Is KB8SWR still here? All right, Anthony, I guess it's just you and me. My drive's not too bad. I left at 4 today, so I'm at 34-mile road already, making my way home. Topic of conversation was we were talking about crossband repeat on the 2730. Thought that would be kind of neat to get working if it makes sense or works well, and just walk around the house with an HD and then have the mobile do all the heavy lifting.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I never thought about utilizing it that way. You also let me know how that works.
part of me is like debating on putting the 500 in the house and blowing that piece of garbage up and then sending it back to Yaesu, because I guess if the repeater's jumping, that radio's, every transmission is transmitting. So every, you know, every time the repeater keys up, it's transmitting, whether it's me transmitting from my HT to the mobile to the repeater, or the repeater transmitting to the mobile to my HT. So that would be my only concern, but I think at 5 watts, and I got a new Noctura fan for it today that I'm going to go put on right now, and that should help too, but that's my only concern. I don't want to cook a new radio. I like this one.
Take a beep, BLX.
Go ahead.
You guys just been sitting here listening. I wanted to jump in there and say that the last scenario, I can't remember the call sign that he gave you for that, is what I use on my HD around the house, and it is the probably the simplest way to set it up, and yet the best way to set it up so that it is almost guaranteed that it releases the repeater every time. And if it doesn't hit a certain point, I don't know how to explain this, but for some reason, if it doesn't hit a certain point, you don't have that problem of it constantly transmitting like that, if it's set up that way. I don't know exactly how to explain it, though, but that is the method I use, and it works out great. Nothing gets hot. Everything works perfect. KF8BLX.
KF8BLX. So are you talking about, I think it's called a voter, where you transmit, you uplink from your HT to the mobile goes to the repeater, but then you receive on your HT?
Correct. But if you can do that backwards, too. It's kind of hard to explain. but, yeah, and if the mobile unit you're using is true duplex, then it will receive on the HT also.
All right, I'm going to try it both ways. I don't think I'm going to hear very well with my HT at my house, or at least not inside. But, yeah, that's the optimal way, so then the radio's not working, or the mobile's not working as hard. But both are true dual VFOs, so at least I have that going for me.
Yeah, the biggest worry is whether or not it drops the repeater. And a lot of people set it up, and they don't do it right, and it holds the repeater, and it drives people that the repeater is crazy. I'm sure you know that. But that is, like I said, the best way to set it up, the easiest way to set it up, and it guarantees that it drops the repeater when you let go of the button.
Well, I will set up an additional radio to monitor the repeater while I'm doing this so I don't piss anyone off.
I didn't mean to interrupt there. Like I said, I just wanted to interject that. I'll go back to listening here, and you guys have a great rest of your day. 73 KF8BLX.
Appreciate the insight, NADDF. Go ahead, Anthony.
You got to be getting close to the house. It's for a 4 o'clock leave time. I'm surprised you're not already home.
Hall Road was Hall Road, so I'm coming up to the south side of town right now, so I still got another 10 minutes.
Cool, yeah, with this construction on 696 eastbound, it's created quite the chaos at 75 and 696, you know, the traffic is crazy now, and there was an accident on 75, and I'm almost ready to start taking surface streets all the way home and just give up.
By the time they finish that project, they're going to have to start over at the first phase of it.
Yeah, they're saying it's going to be a 2-year project. It's like, my goodness, you know, why does this have to take so long?
don't miss that commute. Back in my last job, man, for the longest time, I had to go to the office every single day. And it was like, dude, this is, you know, I'm spending 3 hours a day in the vehicle for this. Like, for what?
Yeah, but at least it was a company vehicle then, right?
No, because this was during the great vehicle shortage of COVID, and it took him almost 8 months to find me that vehicle. So the first 8 months, I was driving my pickup truck.
That sucks.
Truthfully, if I hadn't taken that job and had to put those miles on my truck, I'd still probably have that truck because it would have had no miles on it. That's part of the reason I traded it in. I was like 50,000 miles on it, like a year and a half or something stupid, and I was like, I'm killing this truck. I'm just going to get rid of it. That's when I went down to the company car and had my wife's car for a little bit, and then I went down the truck rabbit hole again and got a couple different ones.
Yeah, I've been looking a little bit lately, but I don't think I'm going to do anything. I just put tires on my car, and it's doing just fine, so I'm going to stick with it for a while.
Just sit tight. I got a feeling that the price gouging from the big three is going to come to an end here. They've been running rampant for too long, and trucks aren't moving. A lot of vehicles aren't moving. So don't buy anything for a while, maybe another year.
Yeah, you know, it must have been in 2009, maybe. There was definitely an overstock of vehicles, and I think my dad picked up a brand new Dodge Ram for like $20,000. So there's always going to be those blips on the radar. You just got to be ready to capitalize on it.
Yep, that's what I'm patiently waiting for, especially with the new EPA deregulation coming out. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the diesel trucks. So I'm, you know, still riding it out. My truck's a year old as of this month, so I have no reason to get rid of it yet, and I'm just going to wait and see. Hopefully the big three starts slashing the crap out of their markups, and then we can get whatever we want for an affordable price again.
Yep, we definitely have some interesting times ahead of us. We'll see what happens.
K8KCI.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we just wanted to show, yes, we are going to have some. They'll be gouging us with even the stuff they got in stock and saying, oh, well, gee, there was tariffs on that, so be prepared. Helping with the agony.
Yep, none of the stuff is going to happen overnight. It's going to take time.
Yes, it will. So, nope, didn't mean butt in, but it was one of them conversations. Ain't nothing you can do about it. They've been doing this stuff for the last, 100 and some years. So just another regime taking over and another regime complaining about it. So all good. So, take care and be driving safe out there. KCI, we're on the site.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it. It's unfortunately what they are is regimes, and there's two sides to the coin, and we just keep flipping back and forth. Go ahead, Anthony. All right, I don't know if Anthony had a phone call or not, but I am turning down my street, so I am also going to clear here. Good talking to everyone, and I will catch everyone later. NADDF.
Hey, Roger, on that, I will say you guys got this repeater up here. System working pretty good, because you guys are most likely, I believe, are right down in M59 era, so we're running over here in Oakley and just running into the Burt repeater, and it's she's always sparking up a storm, so keep up the good work. K8KCI, we're on the side.
K8RUH, Dakota, you still out there? I had to take a phone call.
I'm pulling in the driveway, but I figured you had a call come in, so I did clear out, but, yes, sir. Same time tomorrow?
Same bat channel, same bat time. I'll see you in the morning, K8RUH. Have a great night.
Sounds good, man. You too. NADBF, I'm clear.
So I got that, I ordered the laptop just like the one you lent me, you know, that was off eBay, so got it real cheap. And so I can bring that other one back to you. I don't know if I'm going to be at breakfast Saturday because I'm going to Chicago for a holiday. I'm not sure what time we're leaving, but actually I may show up. But if they don't, it's okay if I wait till the next week to get that back to you?
Absolutely no rush at all. Don't worry about it.
Okay, sounds good. So, I actually put Windows 7 on this new one. Then I found out that when these easy programs that tried to write and read file, it kept getting errors, and I realized it can't handle the NTFS file system. So I created a second virtual drive and formatted it FAT, and then it worked.
Hey, whatever, if it works, you know, that sounds better anyhow.
Yeah, so I moved that stuff to the second drive, the second virtual drive. Anyways, I'm hoping maybe tomorrow I get the original repeater back in with the new amp. That may happen, so keep your ears open. I may need some audio checks. It's probably going to be 5 o'clock-ish. I don't know if you're going to be around.
Unless you're talking AM, yeah, no problem. I've got some stuff in the AM before noon. After that, I think I'm pretty open. But yeah, 5 o'clock for sure. I'll be home by then.
All right. You getting the snow where you're at?
There was a little bit coming down as I left work, about 3:30-ish, and, you know, nothing to speak of, and, you know, of course, no accumulation or anything, but there was a little flurrying down, and now it's sunny and crystal clear, no sign that it even flurried.
Yeah, it's coming. More of it's coming. I just went through a squall. And now it's just big wet flakes in the windshield. Splattering. So, crazy weather. All right. Yeah, everything else good?
Yeah, we spent all day. I mean, not me. I came a little later, but still a long day at the shop trying to get the RTCM's interface to the 7.2, and issue after issue, cabling issues, and
repeater issues, power supply issues. Every time we turn around, it'd be like, no, what now? You know. Anyhow, finally got everything up and running and online. So, by the time we got everything up and running, everybody was just ready to leave like hours ago. So, you know, were we a little hasty in the end when we finally got everything up and running? Maybe, you know, I've been listening to it. Sounds pretty good, but, you know, got to go back and tweak a little. I do got to get one of the Weiss boxes. I've got some incoming SSDs. I'm going to swap out an SSD. I'm going to run a copy of Debian 12 on it and then get the latest ASL 3.0 set up on it. Get that all set up and whatnot, and then that'll be, because right now it's just running off of, Fred has an ASL 3 Weiss box running his repeater, the UMP, and he just put an extra port on it real quick, configured it to run the 7.2 until I can get the Weiss box up, and then we'll separate them again, put that on a separate one so I can configure it custom. But that's the first step. And then I got the receivers. I'm going to work on getting the two receivers up and running and get those deployed. So I'm hoping, you know, that this week I can find some time to do that. But, you know, didn't have any today. And tomorrow's I might have some time in the afternoon. But it's going to be tough. But I would like to have the receivers deployed, see how that RTCM voting works.
Okay, so right now it's just standalone. You're going to be adding receivers. How many receivers are you going to have?
Just two for right now, Richmond and Warren. And, you know, the antennas are there, the network's there, everything's there. So really all we got to do is just get the receiver running and then go plug it in. We do have to snake a GPS antenna, you know, get a view of the sky with the GPS antenna. But that's about the only challenging thing. Warren and Richmond, and you know, that's where we're gonna call it on that one.
Oh, is that gonna be that VHF antenna on the tower?
Yep.
Okay. Wasn't there a problem with that? Was it tilted or something?
Yep. I've got a climbing crew coming in shortly. I'm going to, you know, but they're there for other work, so I'm going to see if I can get them to go up and straighten that thing up and tighten it up. Otherwise, I got to get a hold of the crews that originally put it in and see if I can get them to come back when they're in the area. So, it's kind of leaning pretty badly.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that, I thought it was my imagination. Then I realized I drove around the other side of it and said, no, that's definitely tilted.
Yep. I'm hoping that this crew that I got coming in shortly here, I'm hoping I can just get them to go do it. But if not, I'll have to bring in the ones that originally put it in. So, anywho, that is what it is.
All right. Oh, so I've been playing around with the G thing. The guy sent me those other cards. When I put one of the other front-end cards in, it went from, like I said, like about 100 microvolt sensitivity down to 0.5 when I tuned it.
There you go. You should be able to get it down to about .35, .3, somewhere in that range. That was pretty typical of that of the Master 2, at least. I can't imagine the Master 3 would be less sensitive, but you certainly should be able to get to .35, which I consider to be the the bar. You know, everything beyond .35 is for a repeater is one, you're asking for trouble, but more importantly, it's a lot. It's a lot to ask to get much below .35, .3.
So you should be able to get there, though. Half a microvolt should be quieting, pretty much.
Yeah, I've got a week till Dan's going to send me that car, extender car that I talked to today. One I can start, you know, tuning the other elements, too, because that might have an effect on it. I was a little disappointed that I could only get it down to 0.5. Yeah, I'd like to see it at, like you said, 0.3, 5.3. I know for this about the same quieting on my repeater, I down, I think, about 0.25.
Yeah, you may be able to get it there, right? But got to get that card. I mean, do you have arrangements with Dan to get that? Or has any arrangements been made? Because he travels a lot, you know, so all you'd have to do is make sure he has it with him. And sometime when he's up in the area, you could probably bug out and meet him.
Yeah, I tried that. He's not going to be anywhere in the area. He just put it in the mail today, he said. So, see, have a couple of days. Yeah, it's just that those cards are, you know, 450 to 470, so that might be the best I can get out of them. I was looking online, there's some things for, like, if you're converting, like, a one from 430, you actually take apart the coil, you know, the casing on the coils, and you actually use, like, a Dremel and cut off about a quarter turn on the front end coils, but that's going the wrong way, so that won't help me. What was that?
My fat hand hitting the PPT, my bad. I know you'd be up.
I'm sorry, who is that?
NADBF, Dakota, I was testing something and squeezed the radio and hit the PTT, that's my fault.
Oh, hi Dakota. Long time no talk. So, let's see. Oh, looks like the police got somebody here. Alright, I'll be extra careful. All right, Sean, talk to you later. I'm just about where I'm going. Bowling night for the last couple nights, and the season's over. So, doesn't count for anything. We're out of the playoffs, so just what we call point money, if we can get some decent scores. So, talk to you later. Over to you, Sean, ABAPR.
Yeah, sorry about that. I had a text come in I had to deal with in the middle of, it's actually about Don, finally. Good grief. Waiting to hear something on that for a while. So, all right, bowl well. W8FUNADF. Yo, yo, what up? So the crossband repeat on this radio drops the carrier just as fast as my nodes and everything else do. So I don't know how it sounds, but it seems to be working way better than I thought it was going to. It sounds terrific, except for I can hear background noise, but not bad. But that's a little different. Not used to that. But no, it sounds great. And you should be able to run around with a portable and then cross it out. So, if you're going in through Richmond, it drops the PL with the carrier. So you can immediately key right back to it. Repeaters that keep the PL during the hang time make it untenable. Romeo, and that acts the same way. So, and I didn't think about that. When you said background noise, my kids are definitely loud, but I'm wondering if you were hearing, I wonder if the mic on the mobile's got to be on, right?
It could be, maybe not. I mean, you might want to unplug it
just to be sure, but, you know, they could certainly, you know, write the firmware so that it mutes the mic when it's in crossband repeat mode, but if they didn't, it certainly could be live.
That's a good point. I would hope that they were smart enough to write it that way, because when you put it in this mode, it locks the radio, so I'm assuming, I'll have to test it, that the mic's dead, but sweet. The only thing I got to do is put a PL on the uplink, and I think I have a halfway decent RF setup, so appreciate you letting me do it and confirming that it's working.
Yeah, unplug the mic and go back to where you are right now and give me a count.
All right, hold on, I gotta go. So that's the other thing, is that the mobile's in another room and the door was shut, but hold on, I'm gonna unplug right now. All right, NODDF, mic's unplugged, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Ooh, I'm not 100% sure it had zero effect. I'm still hearing, you sound like a little, like hollow room sound. You know, a little echoey. Not echo from a background radio, but like a truly a echo room. And I thought maybe the mic was doing that. It was picking up the mic, but I'm not so sure. It sounds maybe like it's a little better, but I don't know. I got to hear it some more.
So mic's still unplugged, bumped up to, I think it's 1 watt. I'm trying to think what else it could be, because when I go direct through the mobile, it sounds clean. I mean, I don't think, maybe it's the gain or something on my Kenwood.
Okay, it's not the mic. The mic, it had no bearing, so the mic made no difference. No, there's nothing wrong. You're crystal clear, very clear and intelligible. Just a little, it's not hot, but it's really sensitive. And I'm hearing, not clearly, but I'm hearing some noise in the background, and you've got like almost a hollow room sound kind of going on there. Again, you're crystal clear, no problem whatsoever, but it sounds like the mic just might be a little sensitive.
Yeah, and all the gain settings and the controls on the 75 are in kilohertz, so there's different kilohertz to set the gain to, and that's above my pay grade.
That's interesting.
What about the gain on the
handle? Would be in kilohertz, unless they're talking about deviation, which is not really gain. That's how, you know, that's how hot you are. If you're hot, your deviation is high. If you're quiet, your deviation could be low, but if your deviation sounds right, but there's just a lot of audio. That's a mic gain.
Probably an EQ.
So that would generally be expressed in either just a number. It could be high, medium, low, like I've seen some radios. It could be expressed in dB. There's a lot of ways that could be expressed, but not typically kilohertz. So
I think it's an EQ. EQ.
Double there, but I heard you both. Dave, yeah, I misspoke. Dave, correct me. It's EQ.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that makes a little more sense. Anyhow, let's not nitpick this. You're sounding really good. Like I said, I'm nitpicking. You know, the mic's a little sensitive, so if you got a lot of background noise, you might want to be cognizant of that. But you're fine.
Yes, thank you, Alex.
Go ahead.
So he's dropping again. Just wondering, is there a mic gain on the handheld itself? Maybe you can make the mic on the handheld a little less hot? Just a thought. KF8BX.
I will have to look. I'm not entirely sure. I've never messed with it. Everything's bone stock on this, so I haven't really messed with it.
And again, don't
don't forget, we're splitting hairs here. You sound real good. I'll take it. Give me one sec. I gotta switch this back, though. It looks like my uplink is still set to high power. Palmetto State Armory is closing. I'll be down. I'll be darned. No, this can't be right. Look at these prices. Get out of here. This has got to be a... This has got to be fake. God, they make this idiot-proof. Oh, wait. I can rule this out. Let me grab another HD. Hold on.
Yeah, the EQ settings on your ICOM radio should have no effect except for the microphone that you're using on the ICOM radio. So the source radio is what you gotta adjust any audio gains on. But you know, you sound fine. You know, you normally are loud anyways. You know, you just have a booming voice, and so you're fine.
I think it's just the tinnitus and me talking really loud and yelling. This is the VX6R. Is this any better?
Yeah, you're a little quieter, but it's good. You know what I'm saying? Like, not as loud, but yeah, you're okay. I can tell that you're on an RF link, though, because you got like that snow in the background, but that's just RF.
Yeah, and that's just a result of my antenna being in the attic. If I got that thing outside, it would probably be crystal clear. I'm also going into Romeo, so let me switch over to Richmond. Okay, any left snow?
Yep, that one's good. Go ahead, Cujo. Yeah, it sounds a little compressed, but that's because I'm on the phone. It's not you.
What up, Tom? Have you played with that antenna yet?
No, it's too cold outside.
You mean you don't want to stand outside in 50 mile an hour winds and snow?
I was holding on to it, showing my daughter, since she's the one that got it for my Christmas present. And I'm like, see how heavy this thing is. And she goes, that's not heavy. She picked it up and goes, oh, yeah, it is. It's got a little bit of weight to it.
It's not heavy, but it's not light. It's definitely, they're doing a good job.
Oh, definitely. I've got a Echo HT that I'm going to set up a two frequency inbound, outbound. About it. I'll get them from Don. Get it all set up. That way I can fill around with it. If I got a BNC on the ICOM, my Retevis is that has a connector, so I still have to order that.
Well, if you need another one, I'll probably let that RT3S go.
No, it's okay. I'm just here to fill in the spaces when nobody else is around. I'm I'm in the middle of looking at some stuff for work, but I've just kind of casually looking at work stuff right now. I forgot what you guys were even talking about. Go ahead, Dakota.
Tom bought my Arrow Yagi, and I told him that if he wants the RT3S to go with it, I don't. The only reason I own that radio was for that antenna, so I'll let that go as well.
Okay, yeah. It's an okay radio. It doesn't have the best receive, but yeah, no, it'll be fine for satellite stuff because you just need it. What does Captain Don use? He uses his mobile radio, that 9600. I thought he used that 390 as well. But yeah, you'll have fun with the RT3S. I don't know. Did you get the GPS mod? Did you get the GPS model? Doesn't matter because you can just punch in your static coordinates.
Yeah, I think it was like a $10 difference. I got the GPS model, so I can easily just sync up to wherever I'm at.
Yeah, the model I have is the TYD, so it's the MKUD, it's the 380, but it doesn't have the GPS on it. But Dakota here has got the GPS feature on it, and you know, I'll certainly pick that up from you. It's going to throw me a price on it.
Work something out. I've got the BNC adapter for it, and I still got the box. I got the programming cable. I got everything for it. So just let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, that works for me. Yeah, I just got what is that? A Blaufang. I think that's what Wally calls it. It's a Blaufang. Just picked one up on Amazon. My daughter bought it for my wife because she hung out with us on Saturday up at the shop when I'm working with Sean and all of them. And she liked the idea of the GMRS. I said, you can use it anytime. We can talk. We'll have a cell phone. I said, what happens if your cell phone goes down? I said, you got something new that you can reach me with all the time. So she's like, I like that idea. So she told my daughter, yeah, Dad's getting me a radio. And I did. I ordered it last night. Well, here it is. You got the fancy one.
It's a slippery slope, Tom. It never ends.
Yeah, it was nice. You know, like, and she needed to get some garden soil, so she was just down the road. And she called me up. She says, how you guys doing over there? I said, well, a bunch of snafus happened, and you know, it's just one thing after another. I said, so if you want to stop by and hang out, I said, Fred's wife is here. You guys can sit here and chit-chat. So that's what she did. She came up to the shop. She sat with Fred's wife, and they talked back and forth. She just forgot to get his wife's number because she's a big book nerd like my daughter and reads the same kind of stuff. So got to get her number from somehow get through it from Fred to get it from Michelle and however that goes.
Did you figure out what you're going to fab up to mount your antenna on the roof of your van? NADDF or ID?
Well, I was saying, like, drilling right into the ladder rack frame, but it's a big rubber bumper up there, so. And again, because it's flat, but I could probably mount a piece of aluminum on the side and still do a screw mount NMO instead of a mag mount. That's what I was thinking of doing. You get that 2x4.
You're just going to have to be cognizant of that 2x4. It's 40 inches and it's easy. It doesn't bend either. It doesn't have a spring-loaded base. It'll fold, but it's a tall antenna. So on the roof, I remember I used to do that with a mag mount on the roof a couple of years. I used to do it with a mag mount on the roof of my pickup, and it was obnoxious how tall it was, but the thing got out.
Well, Captain Don says he sent me all the parts. He showed me the mag mount. He says he's driven 80 with that mag
Yeah, that's another option, too. Just make sure whichever one you get, it's actually got the rubber pads on the feet. I had a MFJ one for my hamstrings, and it ended up scratching the crap out of the roof of my Tacoma that I had. So just make sure you buy a quality mag mount.
And my Tram and my Comet that I got on the top right now, they both have rubber boots on them. But this is a work vehicle, so whatever happens to it, you know, how it goes, I just can't drill anything on the interior, but I might, you know, break that rule.
Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with Comet, and I feel like Tram is the same thing, just a different label and cheaper.
Well, the Comet's got, it's a MR77, so it's got a little bit of a gain on it. And the Tram is just flat out. There's no gain on it. That's on the DMR. But if I get the 2x4, then that'll be great. And I'll put that on my Linko, and then I'll put the Comet on my DMR.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm assuming you're looking at the 3-magnet one. I have the Comet something, what the hell is it called? HD5 or something like that. They're heavy duty, they say, mag mount. And I've had it fall off of my old truck twice, and it is not an aluminum truck.
Now, if you look up on DXC, you look at the MR77, it's just a single mag. It does pretty good. It looks like a cellular antenna, so it keeps people from staring into my van. But she holds up pretty well. I was looking at the 3-magnet one, but you said it fell off your truck?
No, so I had a 3-magnet MFJ for hamsticks that scratched the hell out of my Tacoma, and then I still have a Comet HD mag mount that has fallen off of my truck twice.
So far, I have been lucky. I mean, when I first did an HD, I had this little one. And it stayed on for the longest time, but the magnet was only maybe about 2 inches wide. And what took it out was something came off the truck in front of me, and it snapped the antenna right off, so I was done with it.
Yeah, mine was on the roof of my truck on 69, so I was doing probably 80, 85 miles an hour with the 2x4. So, I mean, it kind of unfair circumstances, but yeah, just whatever you do, make sure you buy one that's hard to physically take off.
KGO. Yeah, the two that I have up and down, the Tram and the Comet, they're pretty strong. Because when I move them, I literally have to slide them, because it's kind of hard to twist, pop them off, move them over, and slap them back down. What do I do, man? That's a hard pull.
I know exactly what you're talking about. That's how that MFJ one was, and because of that, when I twisted it, there was a half-inch through bolt for the 3/8 thread adapter that was on it, and that didn't have anything covering it, so it was just that on my roof. But yeah, you want one that strong. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, I think if I get the fender mount one that Paul was showing me, and instead of putting it on the hood, you know, on the fender, I could probably use the same bracket and mount it right to the ladder rack, right in the center.
Well, I'll text you what I did in my bed for my hamsticks. I'm sure they make them in NMO. But it's literally just a piece of stainless angle that's got like a hole drilled through it for antenna adapters.
Yeah, send me a text on that. I'll take a look. It might be the way I go. If I can't put it on the side, I mean, a ladder rack is a perfect option. I don't have that stupid conduit tube up there. I mean, you see my van, so I can put it right between the ladders. And the bumper on the front and the bumper on the back are both square and flat, so I'll just take it right in the center. It's right there. A couple self-tappers, and I take the self-tappers and just mount it in there.
Yeah,
Yeah, I always prefer permanent insulation over a mag mount, unless it's, you know, unless it's not my vehicle or I don't plan on keeping the vehicle.
Well, I travel so much in my work van, I guess I can't drill a 3/4-inch hole in the roof. They'll have a fit. And in my wife's truck, I'm hardly in that. If I'm in that, then I just use my HD.
But the only reason I keep my mag mount is the off chance I take my wife's car. And then I don't even know why I bother, because where we're at, I mean, kind of like you, right? Like, if I'm running 5 watts, kind of useless until I get south of Romeo.
Exactly. The funny thing about wattage right now, just driving into Richmond here at Division in M19, forgot to turn my power down. And I'm like, ooh, I might be over modding. I don't want to burn up the repeater.
Yeah, I was doing that earlier. I was testing out the crossband repeat on my 2730, and it was set to 50, so, oops.
Yeah, when the weather gets warmer, I gotta check that out. You know, it's in the book, but the Alinco here has a crossband repeat, so I just gotta figure out how to program it. There's one thing, I have to turn it on a certain way, and when I'm done, I gotta turn it off. It does suck a lot of juice, and it does heat up the radio, I know that much.
Yeah, it's a couple people I read about online and talked to on my way home. They warned me of the heat and, you know, the duty cycle, because it's essentially every time I'm transmitting or receiving, you know, the radio's transmitting. But it's set to 5 watts on uplink and downlink, and I just put a new fan in it, so it should be okay, but we're going to see.
Yeah, this guy, I got this, so it's got a fan on it, so it's an auto fan, so it knows when it gets warm, it kicks on itself. I don't keep it continuous, so it's just a major draw on power. So, but it said the same thing in the book. Be cautious if you crossband repeat, because the radio does get warm, and it does draw more power.
I mean, it makes sense. You're increasing the duty cycle by 100%, so, but the good thing is, sorry if there's so much noise, the good thing is it's on my desk, so I guess I could modify it or put additional cooling on it, but this one seems to have pretty adequate cooling, so we'll see how long it lasts.
I think they do recommend that when I do crossband repeat to reduce the transmit down to medium, which is 25. Because it's 525 and 70. So if I drop it down to medium, at least I'm just pushing 25 out, and I'm not, you know, taking too much on that duty cycle on there. It might stay a little bit cooler. There was a lot of recommendations, so yeah, I just got to read up on it a little bit more. That's something else to play with in the future. I'm not an outdoor person. I don't like the cold, so I'm not going to be out there playing around with anything.
Well, from my understanding, the only thing that kills radios is heat, so if you can keep the heat down, even if it's running, it should be fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's right here on top of the dash, which is right by the defroster, so if I put this fan on maximum cool, this thing turns into a refrigerator, so it should be cool.
Well, let me know if you figure it out, but that's what I'm talking on right now. I'm using my Kenwood HT crossbanding into the ICOM into Richmond, so it's working way better than I thought it would. It works way better than the Yaesu I used to have does. So overall, pretty happy with it. But pizza just came out of the oven here, so I'm going to feed the kids dinner, and I'll be on the side here, but I'm going to clear out for a bit, so. If you're not home already, careful driving. I'll talk to you in a bit or tomorrow. So have a good night. NADVS.
NADVS 73. I'll talk to you on the flip. KCKGO. Dave, go home at 6:30.
That's funny. I'm already home. Well, that's cool, Dakota. You've inspired me to maybe try hooking up one of my radios to do cross band. I might put the mag mount in the house temporarily in the on the upstairs here. But all right, I'll talk to both of you later. I gotta do garbage night, so that's why I'm procrastinating and doing work. I'm doing work so that I can get out of doing other work. Vicious cycle.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Delta Delta Charlie.
AA8UGQ mobile monitoring.
Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Whiskey Foxtrot. Regular.
This is NATDF. You sound all right.
Okay, thank you. Kilo Foxtrot 8, Bravo Whiskey Foxtrot.
Which repeater is that?
I
didn't get all of that. What repeater are you going into?
W8M1M.
Find where that's at.
Fenton, 442-350.
Yes, that's correct. 4-2-4-4-2-3-50.
Copy that. Yeah, when you're in there, you're good. You're a little faint, but then you go into you hit some spots where you get pretty noisy. So I don't know how far away you are or what you're using, but you got it all set up right.
Yeah, my name is Trevor, and I'm located in Ortonville, Michigan. I think I'm about 800 meters, and using a 50-watt mobile.
Good to meet you, Trevor. My name's Dakota. I'm out in Elmont. I'm going through the Richmond repeater, and they're all linked on the back end. But are you mobile right now, or is this your base radio?
Right now, it's a base radio. I'm experimenting with it. I'm programming the radio. And here in the next few days, I'm going to put it into my car.
What are you using for an antenna, if you don't mind me asking?
The antenna I'm using right now is a dual band antenna. I got it on Amazon. It was cheap, but it seems to be working well. It's about 6 foot long. I've got it mounted on the roof of my house about 20 feet or so above ground.
Okay, I was just curious, just because if you were mobile, I would understand the in and out, but for a base, I don't know. What are you using for feed line?
Yeah, I seem to have some kind of a problem with the in and out. I don't know if I've got some interference or just my setup, but I didn't quite hear the question. What was the complete question?
Yeah, I apologize. I'm not trying to play 20 questions, but I'm always curious. I asked, what coax feed line are you using?
The radio. So the coax I'm using is KMR400. It's the cheaper version of 400. And I've got a run of a
All right, so that's a good cable at least. I had that at my old house. I had a 75-foot run to a Diamond X50NA. That was probably 30 feet up, and it did wonders. So cable's good. I was just wondering if it's a no-name brand or an off-brand antenna, I'd be curious if you got an antenna analyzer to pop that on there and just check your SWR. Connections you have and just went straight from the back of the radio to your feed line and antenna.
Yeah, that's what I did yesterday. I got a buddy of mine who I'm working with, but his time schedule is kind of busy, so I'm hoping to we're going to do some simplex and try to patch through, what could make it better, including taking some of the connectors out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Because when you're clear, you're pretty clear. It's not bad at all. But then you get some. It reminds me of like if you're in your house walking around with a handheld going into a repeater. It changes as you move around. It's almost what it seems like. You'll be clear 1 second, and then you almost drop out completely, and it turns to noise, and then you come back.
Yeah, that's kind of what we were experiencing when I was trying to do simplex on UHF with my buddy. He lives about 2.5 miles from me, but I was using a different radio, but there's something, yeah, kind of goes in and out. Am I still going in and out now that I'm on the office?
Yeah, the transmission was a little bit better, but you fell out towards the end, so it doesn't seem like there's any pattern to when you drop out, which is also confusing.
Yeah, I've got a little bit of work ahead of me to try to figure these things out. Plus, I just bought a digital radio, and of course, the DMR, and of course, those are all UHF, the ones that are close by, so... I'm trying to get it sorted out because the digital is going to, I want to get that working as well.
Yep, I've been down the DMR rabbit hole. It's a complex one. But once you get it, it's not bad. So are you just getting into the hobby or are you coming back to it or what's your license?
I heard the question. I got my tech in February time frame, I got my general. And here, set up a lot more of my
Well, I heard most of that. It sounds like you're a newer ham, so congrats and welcome. This is going to be, if you are a new ham, if I misunderstood, I apologize, but this is going to be one of the many hurdles and learning experiences you're going to have throughout the hobby. But it is very rewarding once you figure these things out.
Yeah, figuring it all out is half the fun. You put it all together and it works just perfectly. That's the first one is that. But I'm sure this one is not so because the signal seems to be deteriorating. Very nice speaking with you. Thanks for getting back to me. 73-2. This is Kilo Foxtrot 8 Bravo. This is Foxtrot here on your plane.
84ZYQ. Brief comment.
Go ahead, ZYQ.
This is Joe in Clinton Township, KE4ZYQ. I concur with the other gentleman about you dropping out and missing that. One thing I suggest to check, if you've got a meter, a way of checking it, is check your coax cable. If you can check and see its continuity, just make sure it's not grounding out. Check the center core wire and the grounding part of it. Grounding out. If somebody else made it to put it together, you bought it already made, or even if you made it, it's always good to check the continuity of the coax. Just a suggestion. Thanks for the comment. KE4ZYQ, good luck.
All right, Trevor, we'll have to keep tabs. I want to know what you end up finding. I'm curious now because I've not experienced anything like that yet. It was a pleasure meeting you. Good talking to you, and I'm sure we'll talk soon. This is NAPDS, and I will be standing by.
Yeah, thanks. Dakota, are you still there?
KF8DRC, NADBF. How you doing, Jack?
Oh, very good. How about you?
I'm doing good. Just testing out some new stuff and hanging out at home with the kids.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You're sounding very excellent here. And this side of town in Rochester Hills. I don't know, you got that antenna inside the attic?
I appreciate that, Jack. Yeah, I ended up getting, I put a GP3 in the attic. Still debating on whether or not it's going to stay there, but it gave me a whole new world of RF capabilities versus what I used to have.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but you're sounding good. I mean, the audio is excellent. The 100% audio.
Well, I appreciate that. Like I said, I'm testing out, I got a new mobile unit for the house, and I'm using it as a crossband repeater right now, so I'm actually talking on a handheld that's going through my roof antenna through the mobile unit. So the fact that you're saying it sounds good, that's good. I made a couple adjustments earlier after Sean's input, and I don't know if it made that much of a difference, but hopefully it's good enough because I'm happy with how it's working so far.
Hi, Dakota. Good talking to you. We'll talk again. You know where I am anyhow. You take care. You have a good day. KFA-DRC.
Pleasure as always, Jack. We'll keep in touch. KFA-DRC from NADBF 73. which radio did you say you were setting up to crossband earlier, your 300?
KF8DQP, listening in and testing out a new antenna.
This is double U8CMC.
WSCY, Sheboygan Bob, are you available? WSCY, calling.
Get that GMRF crap off ham radio.